Truly, how great God is. Wonderful, wonderful Lord. So glad that you're here this morning. We pray that God has special blessings for you. We know that we got several kids, what'd you say, with pink eye. So that takes a big shot when you get some kids with pink eye and they can't get here. So, but we're glad you're here. You know, as old saying goes, if you go out to feed your cows, whichever one that come up to eat, that's the ones that get fed. of course, you heard that story about one guy showed up and the preacher preached for an hour and a half. And when he went out, the farmer said something about it and the preacher said, well, I fed you. He said, yeah, but when only one cow shows up, I don't give them that but one bale. It's good to be in God's house. We're so glad that you're here. Pray God's blessings upon you. Those that are listening by in the parking lot, those that might be listening by the website later, we're so glad that each one is a part of what God's doing. May we pray. Father, as we bow before you, we thank you for your blessings. Lord, we do pray for those that have special needs today. But Lord, we're thankful for each person that's come and sitting here with the anticipation of hearing from you. And so, Father, as we come, we want to worship you. We want to acknowledge you. We want to honor you. For you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How great thou art. We consider your creation. We consider your plan of salvation. We consider your love. Truly, how great thou art. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's start our worship service this morning with Glorify Thy Name. And yes, we want to glorify our beautiful, loving Jesus. Stand with me. All three verses. Let's sing it out loud this morning.
Thank you.
much. Have a seat.
Well, you know, Brother Leonard's away today, and so I'll be making what announcements we need to make. Again, we welcome you to be a part of the service, praying God's blessings upon us as we assemble together. Wednesday night, Bible study. Have a good time on Wednesday night. Sometimes it gets lively, but we have questions and try to answer them, and we invite you to be a part of that. Several things in the bulletin. Next Sunday, the Call Church Conference. One thing we definitely want to vote on is some taller commodes for some of the bathrooms. Make it a lot easier for folks. And so we want to vote on that. And it's possible we'll have a vote on a ramp. It depends on some quotes that we're expecting to go along with the ones we already have. So we may or may not vote on the ramp. It just depends on whether we get the extra information between now and next Sunday. If we don't vote on it then, we'll vote on it later. Golden Ager's trip to Harrisburg Family Restaurant, November the 9th, which is a Wednesday. We'll meet here at the church at 10:30 to carpool and go up there. So please sign up so that Brenda can tell them whether we need a table for 4 or a table for 14. And I don't even know how to get to Harrisburg from here. I'd have to carpool with somebody or follow them along. I know I can get to Harrisburg one way or two, but not from here. I have to go somewhere else and start. So do sign up. Please do that. Work day, November 19th, which is a Saturday, if you can come and be a part of that. And remember, November, we always give our Thanksgiving offering for the Baptist Children's Home. They always depend upon that offering as a special gift to minister to those kids, and they do such a good work, and we always do a great job in giving. And so just be planning on that for some time during the month of November. Now usually Jeff has some videos to show us, but till we get all of this system put back working, we're out of luck.
We may have it. We're working on it.
So we're working on that.
He got an important part this week that we needed.
So okay, good.
It finally came in Friday.
Good.
And Pastor Eddie, if I may, two things. The Oakborough, as you can tell, I'm well prepared. The Halloween night is tonight. It actually starts at 6 o'clock. For those helping, we need to be there between 4:30 and 5:30. Please come. Bring the kids. It'll be a good, safe place to bring them and make it something out of it. Never know. Also, just in case you didn't have the opportunity to put something in the plate, today is the pastor appreciation offering. If we will make sure, we'll make sure to have somebody at each door when you leave. You can give it then. Just don't forget that, if you will. And I think that's it.
All right. Any other announcements?
Yeah, it's November. We're almost November. So stewardship committee start meeting. I know we've got all the budget stuff in, so we're planning on Thursday night at 6:30.
Okay. All right. Any other announcements? All right. Our prayer request. There's a number of people in your bulletin on the prayer request list. My knee is a lot better. My wife insisted I bring this crutch so I wouldn't fall flat on my face. So I usually obey her. Not always, but usually.
Let me turn the recorder off
That's why you stay married 55 years.
There you go.
Other prayer requests this morning.
Y'all remember my uncle Bobby Keplinger, his wife passed away a couple months ago. He's in the hospital with COVID, not doing real well.
All right. Someone else.
I have an update on Pay, and I talked with her this morning, and she said she had a good night, and the home care people will come in today at 9 o'clock to set her up, get her set up for home care to come in periodically.
And did she get home or not?
She got home Friday.
All right. Anyone else?
Pastor, I put Reverend Martin on the prayer list. The family of, he passed away this past week. He was at Mineral Springs for years and then I think at Grace.
All right.
He just recently retired, so.
All right.
Pray for his family.
All right. All right. Anyone else? Okay, let's pray together. Fathers, we bow before you. We know that the folks that are listed there in the bulletin are all precious to you. Those that we've mentioned out loud, do pray for Brother Ken's family. Lord, we thank you for him, for the ministry that he had for so many years, the lives that he touched, the people that came to know Jesus because of his ministry. Bless his family, Father, with your presence. Pray for Jeff's uncle. Lord, may your presence be with him. Lord, may he just be surrounded by the love that you have for him. Lord, we pray for Miss Ann. Lord, we thank you that she was able to come home. Father, continue her healing process. And Father, for those children that have pink eye and are not able to be here today, I pray that you'll be near to them. They may be in bed asleep or watching cartoons or just playing with some little game. But Lord, may they suddenly be infused with the awareness of your love, your presence. We want you to know, Lord, you're welcome here. You're so very, very welcome. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Alrighty, let's stand together and turn to 368 in observance of our Lord's Supper. Let's do both verses of Here at Your Table, Lord. Stand with me.
Oh,
have those who'd like to go to Children's Church?
Make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. If you follow me, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. Hear Christ calling, come unto me, come unto me.
You know, this morning we're going to, in a few moments, observe the Lord's Supper or communion. Every child of God is welcome to participate. And I want us to look at two very different passages of Scripture in the New Testament which mention the Lord's Supper. And I've been mulling over them maybe for more than several weeks because they're so very different. And just let me share my thoughts with you. And because it's caused me to consider my own attitudes, my own actions, my own opinions. And the first of these is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul is talking about the Lord's Supper. And it starts in verse 17, 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 17. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before another his own supper. One is hungry, another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many have sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he may come together unto the condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Now, the New Testament church most of the time had a fellowship meal, like our homecoming meal, along when they observed the Lord's Supper. And it's a great time of celebration, a time to be together with fellow believers. But when Paul looks at this church at Corinth, he's not real pleased. Think about one of the things he said. He said, there's some cliques among you. In other words, there's some groups. You remember earlier in the book of 1 Corinthians, he talked about some of you say, well, I'm for Paul, and I'm for Apollos, and I'm for Jesus. And so they were divided up and who they thought was the best preacher, who they thought they wanted to follow. And so they were divided into these cliques. Paul also mentions here they got drunk. at the Lord's Supper. Now that's cool. They got drunk at the Lord's Supper. Then it says that some ate all the food and left the others to go hungry. That's not good. So Paul's not real pleased with what's going on. And I can think of two different reasons that some were eating all the food and others going hungry. And the first is one that has been suggested, I've heard numerous times, is that the well-off people in the church could come most any time. Maybe the service is supposed to be at 7 o'clock in the evening. Well, they might come at 5, 5:30, 6 o'clock. I mean, you know, they were free. So they just came home, put their food on the table, went to eating. Those who were slaves and those who were poor and had to work till the as we say, dark 30. Some of you know what that means. Work right on. They couldn't come till the very last minute. And because they were poor, they probably had very little food to contribute to the table. They came hoping they were going to get a decent meal for a change instead of the poor rations that a slave would usually get. And instead, they showed up, food was all gone, and they went hungry. Now that is a sad situation because he said some ate and some went hungry. I can also wonder if maybe there's another reason. If we're all divided up in cliques, we're all divided up in the Paul group and the Apollos group and the Simon Peter group and the Jesus group. Do I really want to fellowship with you if you're in the other group? And it may have been that they were getting together just in their little group and leaving others out. Now, do you know this kind of thing can happen today? I'm thinking of a church I know about, and I'm going to put it in Barber's Grove terms so you'll understand what I'm saying. Let's suppose next year at homecoming, we finish up the service and we go out for the homecoming meal. And all of the Barbies take their food and go out here under the trees next to the play area. And all the Linkers go out here under the old bus shelter. And all the Hatleys just go over to Gary and Tonda's house. They just leave the place and go over to Gary and Tonda's house. And then the rest of us go down to the fellowship hall. Where's the fellowship in that? I know a church, like I say, that's the way they celebrate homecoming. There's four or five little groups scattered all over the church parking lot, and some that are across the road in another building. And sometimes some of them just go to a home somewhere else. Now, if I want to talk to Gary and fellowship with Gary and he's gone home, where's my fellowship? Where's my sharing? If I want some of the good food that I know a certain family's brought, and they've taken it down here under the trees, you know, I look pretty pathetic when I get my empty plate and I walk out from the fellowship hall and down there under the tree. Where's the fellowship? And Paul was saying, folks, I'm not real pleased with this. Now, for years, as I've thought about this passage, I focused on the drunkenness. But you know, that's not the real problem. The real problem is selfishness. The real problem is selfishness. I look out for number one. And in 2 Timothy, Paul writes and says, you know, that's the way people will be in the latter days. Lovers of their own self. It's all about me, what I want, what I care about. It's not about you, it's about me. Selfishness. And what a terrible way to treat fellow believers. Now, Paul tells them to examine themselves. Now, here's honesty. For years, I pulled out my self-righteous checklist. Got drunk lately? No. Murdered anybody lately? No. Committed adultery? No. Robbed any banks? No. Felt pretty good about it. You ever do that? But what about selfishness? What about selfishness? Sometimes I need to pull out the selfishness card and the selfishness checklist and see if I can check off all of those areas. You know, it's possible to be selfish in a lot of areas. And please don't raise your hands. What about being selfish toward our spouse or our children? I know a guy that got in big trouble with his wife because his kids needed shoes and he took the extra money they had and bought a dog. Now, there's nothing wrong with owning dogs. We've got one. But not at the expense of our kids going without shoes. Sometimes it might be a boat. It might be a $500 driver for our golf bag. But it's so easy sometimes to think of my needs, my desires, and not look at those kids. When I was about 27 or so, some guys got me in the church, got me into playing my form of golf. Back then, you could play for about $25, ride and stop, meet a cheese cracker and a moon pie and have a Pepsi. But then one day I came home and Stephen says, I need some new tennis shoes. Now, Stephen was on the tennis team at North Stanley. And I don't know how you deserve, you drag your toe and it just wears the top off of those tennis shoes quickly. And there was some kind of glue paste that you could put on them that sort of scabbed over and they could keep using them. But he needed new shoes regularly. And I just had to say, okay, I can't play any more golf because $25 would have bought him a pair of shoes. Sometimes it's not things we spend, it's time. We get so busy with our own particular, as a husband or a wife, we get so busy with our own clubs or projects or hobbies that we have no time for each other, for our kids. I'm thinking about two particular things I'm thinking about. One, I was thinking about being in a store. And two or three little kids, looked like they was about 5 or 6, 7. And they were crying. Mom and Daddy, we're hungry. We want something to eat. And Mom and Daddy's buying lottery tickets just hand over fist. And I'm thinking, how selfish. You've got kids hungry. And all you can think about is trying to win the lottery. And then I think about Pamela and I being in a restaurant. And there's just two cute kids sitting at the table beside of us. And I assume it was their mom and daddy. And mom and daddy sitting there on their phones. And the whole 30 minutes or so that we sat there and ate, the mom and daddy didn't say a word to each other. And they didn't say a word to those kids. And those kids looked like, well, they were just starved for some attention. These days, you never know who's packing, so I didn't say anything. But I really wanted to say, if you two people would take your cell phones and go over in the corner, Pamela and I would love to talk to your kids. We'd just love to fellowship with those kids. You see, selfishness. And selfishness can show up in a church. You know, we use the Lord's tithe for ourselves. We use money the Lord gave us for special offerings for ourselves. We refuse to use our talents, our spiritual gifts, our abilities for the Lord's work. Because I don't have time to serve the Lord. Selfishness. You see, we can treat each other in a selfish way. Paul says in the last phrase of verse 29, not discerning the Lord's body, not realizing that every part of the body of Christ is precious. Every other believer is precious. Our families, our fellow believers, they're precious. Now, Jesus told us to love others as we love ourselves. So we have to take care of ourselves. You know what they tell you if you've ever flown? In the event the oxygen mask deploys, put your own on first before you try to help somebody else. But don't put your own on and sit there and watch that one dangling in front of your seatmate and not help them. Help them after you've helped yourself. We have to love ourselves, but then we love others. We love others. So you see, Paul says, folks, when you get together, don't let selfishness rule your thought life, whether it's family or church. Now turn with me back over to the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter. Verse 3, John 13, verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, We are not all clean. After he had washed their feet, and had taken his garment, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord. And you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Now, I preached a whole sermon on this for communion a few months ago, so I won't go into all of it again. But just look at that. What does this show us? Humility. It shows us love. It shows us how to be a servant. It shows us unselfishness. I mean, if anybody deserved to have his feet washed, it was Jesus. But Jesus, unselfishly, ministered to others. It showed service in ministry. You see, what a contrast between a group in Corinth who didn't care about one another as versus our Lord, who humbled himself and washed their feet. And what's astounding is that he washed Judas's feet. Says, you're not all clean. You know, Judas was there. Judas hadn't left yet to go and betray him. And you know, it's a great act of service when you can minister to those people that don't like you. Those people that don't agree with you. Those people that don't want much to do with you. To still minister to them in love and in service. And Jesus says, I want that you to have that attitude. I want you to have that attitude of service. That attitude where there is no selfishness, but humility and love. Now you know what I've been thinking all week. And when I pull out that checklist of how much selfishness or how little selfishness, how much love, how little love, how much pride, how much humility, maybe I don't do so well sometimes. Greatest act of service in it all was Christ dying on the cross for our sin. Christ dying for our sin. And we want to celebrate now the Lord's Supper, to partake of the Lord's table. And Jeff, if you'll come, if there's anybody that did not get a cup, Jeff will see that you get one. So just raise your hand. Everybody been served? You know, from past experience, there's a little film on the top of this. If you pull it off, there's a little wafer representing the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Most of us at one time or other have been in pain from a broken bone or a kidney stone or some other kind of surgery. We can't begin to imagine all the pain that Jesus went through. We can't imagine. No problem. Just gives me longer to talk. Okay. How much Jesus loves us to go through all that pain voluntarily. That old song that says, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he died alone for you and me. Jesus had a choice. You know, he prayed, if it's possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, your will be done. There's so many ways that we can understand the love that Jesus has for us, and all represented in his body. Thank you, sir. Jesus said, "This is my body. Take and eat." You know, when you pull back the next tab, there's the juice representing the blood of Jesus. The Bible says, apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin, no remission of sin. You've heard me say it before, but how many, probably millions, of goats and bulls and birds and sheep were sacrificed on those altars for sin, and they just had to keep doing it over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. But Hebrews tells us that this man, when he made one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus paid it all. His blood. He said to his disciples, "This is my blood shed for you. Drink ye all of it." For just a moment, let's just bow our heads and be thankful. Could you whisper a sweet prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord for saving you? For the love that brings you salvation and eternal life. Could you thank the Lord for all your sin that's forgiven, wiped away in his forgetfulness, that he remembers against you no more? Thank the Holy Spirit for being your constant presence, comforter, guide, teacher. Thank the Lord for the promise that one day we'll celebrate around a table in heaven. And oh, what a marriage supper of the Lamb it's going to be. And all of God's children, all of God's people, worship at the feet of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Would you now think for just a moment, do you know somebody that couldn't celebrate this morning if they were here because they don't know Jesus? Would you take just a moment to pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts? That the Lord would bring a laborer across their path to cause them to come to salvation? Would you lift them up to the throne of grace, that God's mercy would bring them to salvation? Father, as we check our hearts, we want to exhibit the characteristics of Jesus: love, humility, unselfishness, service and ministry. Help us to be that kind of believer as we follow you. Now may the Lord keep you, the Lord bless you, the Lord make his countenance shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he give you peace as you go out and serve him this week. In Jesus' name, amen.